Welcome to the Manager Tools Podcast for Monday, June 12th, 2006. Hello, everyone. This is Michael Lozen, and welcome to Manager Tools. Today, Mark Horseman and I finish up our series on the effective use of administrative assistants. It's been a long journey, but if you have an assistant or plan on having one in the future, the journey will be an incredibly useful one. Before we start, however, Mark and I wanted to pass on our sincere thanks and gratitude for those of you who favored us with your vote on Podcast Alley this month. We achieved a long-time goal, actually more a dream as, speaking for myself, I didn't think it was really possible, of making the top 10 podcasts listed at Podcast Alley. And we're not talking about the top 10 in business, but the top 10 of over 20,000 podcasts out there. We feel very privileged and truly appreciate you taking the time to vote. So, let me say it again, thank you very much. Now, on to what you came for, the final part on effectively managing your administrative assistant.
Another key ground rule. The admin and executive have a daily 10 to 15 minute stand-up meeting to start their day every day. Now, the purpose of this stand-up is to review the schedule, make changes, ensure that the admin and the executive are both on the same page regarding what it is the executive is doing, what needs to be done before and after. This happens every single day. I know some executives who do it even on the road because things change when you're traveling. If you fly from Washington, D.C. to Seattle, in the course of that day, it's a good chance your admin is dealing with three or four changes to your schedule once you get to Seattle. And so that means you need to check with him or her the next morning, even if it's, you know, 6 or 7 in the morning. The admin brings in 2 printed copies of the calendar. If the admin's smart, they print it the night before. And it's sitting on their desk, so when they walk in, if they're walking late, they can grab it right off their desk and walk right in and walk you through your calendar. And you go step by step through each item and talk about what needs to be done, what changes need to be made, and so on.
There's something here that's I just want to raise a small point, but to make this effective, and this is an incredibly effective technique, but the admin and the exec have to sync up in terms of office hours. I've seen executives whose admin comes in after the exec. The exec gets in at 7 o'clock, for example, in the morning. The admin doesn't show up till 8:30. It creates tremendous inefficiency. If at all possible, you'd like your admin to be there actually a few minutes before you get there so they can prepare this stuff. So when you get in the office, you come and you sit down, you have your 10-minute brief, you get your schedule for the day synced up, and then you're off and running. But if you're there an hour and a half before your admin gets there, the whole process is messed up a little bit, in my humble opinion.
Now there is a caveat, of course. In big cities, there's all kinds of issues about, you know, the admin doesn't have to be there till 8, and the executive wants time earlier when things are quiet. My only caveat to that is that, and I actually have a story to share that you'll love, Mike, but my only caveat to that is, if you want to come in earlier, Mr. or Ms. Executive, that's fine. Be in your office and focus on things that, you know, whatever thinking or, you know, if you want to send emails or whatever, but avoid messing with your calendar. Avoid getting so involved in the day-to-day, the tasks of your job, that you end up having to rearrange a bunch of things. Don't try to have 3 meetings with people between 6:30 and 8 in the morning. Now, if you're somebody who's a morning meeting person, then maybe you need to consider that when you bring an admin on board, and maybe have her or him come in early and go home a little bit earlier. But if you can't do that, if for some reason the work rules or something don't allow you to do that, the one thing you can do is say, okay, I'm going to use the time before my admin comes in for thinking, for putting my feet up on my desk, for thinking about my priorities, for reviewing, you know, big presentations, or preparing privately for my presentations with my boss or for the board or for Wall Street analysts or whatever. Look for solitary time, which you ought to have on your calendar anyway. That's one way to address that. For those people who tell us, well, I just can't do what you're asking me to do. Now, I have a story for you, Mike, and it's a good one. You'll love this. One of the reasons I'm so particular about the whole relationship between an executive and an admin is the first job that I ever had that I felt was enormously important to the organization I was in was becoming the personnel officer for Colonel Texera and our unit in Hawaii in early 1983. I was made the personnel officer, which is really an elevated form of an admin. It was very simple. My Colonel Texera and his executive officer said to me, the Colonel comes in early, and when the Colonel comes in, he wants stuff to do. His desk should be prepared. And for about 18 months of my life, since the Colonel came in at 4:30, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was in at work at 3:30, and I prepared from 3:30 to 4:30 for him to have stuff to do from 4:30 until 6 a.m. when we started doing physical training with the entire battalion. And that time, the days where I didn't do that, where I either overslept or I couldn't do it or whatever, the rest of the day was a lot less effective for me. And it taught me a very powerful lesson about how important my time was, not very, compared to how important his time was, which was very. And there were times when I prepared and he absolutely did not use any of my preparation. But he came to rely on the fact that every morning when he came in, he had stuff to do. And he wanted what he wanted to do, of course, with the administration of the battalion when he could do it when nobody else was around. And it wasn't, you know, when people were around, he wanted to talk to them. He wanted to motivate them. He wanted to talk about their responsibilities and how they were doing and what they needed from him in order to get their, make, you know, accomplish their objectives. But he was an early riser and he encouraged me to make his time effective and I responded.
Right.
Okay. So that's the last point in.
Oh, by the way, I wish you would have told me that story before I took over that job when you left.
Yeah, you know, I just thought about that. That's right. You took over after I did. I can only imagine how many documents that were in your office that were signed by me. And you were probably reminded of my presence there for quite a while.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. You were big shoes to fill.
Okay, so that's the schedule. That's the key deliverables on the schedule. Now, look, I mentioned to somebody recently that we have hours and hours and hours worth of stuff to deliver here. We're drilling down to a very high level. We're not drilling down to the deepest level here. So those are the four or five things you can do right away. There's more to be done after you've been working with your admin for 6 months or so, but we really don't have time in this podcast to make it happen. So, Mike, we move now from managing your schedule, which I say again, you know, every minute you can spend making your schedule more efficient and effective is time well spent for the executives who are listening to us. But now we want to move from the critically important to the sublime, which is managing your office. And there are a couple of things we recommend regarding the executive's office or even their cubicle space. Now, look, just because you're an executive, folks, doesn't mean you need an office. Andy Grove, the CEO, longtime CEO of Intel, the guy who presided over their incredible success in the 80s and 90s, Andy Grove had a cubicle just like everybody else. Okay, you don't need an office in order to be an executive. First thing you do, though, particularly true if both of you and your admin are coming to your role at the same time, brand new, you start by cleaning your entire office out. Everything, the entire thing, everything comes out of that office. Pictures, plants, files, every single drawer is cleaned, and the only thing in there is official furniture and probably the desktop PC that goes with it. Plaques off the wall, everything.
So you don't mean organized, you mean like emptied.
Emptied. That's right. Yeah, it's, you know what? That's a good distinction, Mike. I'm not asking you to organize it. I'm talking about ripping it all out and starting over again. Okay? Now, I'm going to make a small pitch here. I'm just going to take 30 seconds and make this pitch, and then I'll go away and everybody can laugh at me. If you can rearrange your office so that your desk is not between you and the person you're talking to, do so. Because you know what, folks? You're an executive. You have all the power you need. You don't need to stare across your desk at someone. The fact is, the vast majority of executives that I know, when they sit and stare across their desk at someone, they end up looking at the things on their desk. If you want to have better connections with people, put it so that even if it means your back is to the door, I know that's probably not feng shui or something, but who cares? I always set up my desk so that my desk is pointing toward the wall, so that when people come into my office and I turn around and talk, we can talk face to face. Now people say, well, Mark, I need a a credenza or something to put stuff on. Okay, I understand that. But all too often, if there's a flat space in people's offices, what they do is fill it up with work. And then when they scoot over to talk to somebody across that little tongue thing sticking out from their cubicle desk, they end up with stuff in between them, and they start fiddling with paperwork, or they start messing with their PDA or whatever. Next thing you know, the email thing dings, and they turn their head and start looking at email while they're talking to somebody, which everybody ought to have their hand chopped off when they do that. Okay. All right. I'm done. I'm off my soapbox now, Mike. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Put the box to the side. And
yeah. Thank you. So look, we clean the entire office out. We get everything out of there. And look, it's helpful and mentally, emotionally to go ahead and scrub the thing down. This cleaning is part of the process of getting to the executive to let go of controlling things. You and your admin come in one day, weekend or not, in work or yard clothes or whatever, and drag everything out. And then the key thing is you decide on what goes back in. And actually, somebody tells me, I mentioned this to an executive the other day who was starting down in San Antonio, and he said, oh, you're telling me to do that like that TV show where they clean out a person's house, and what they do is they take everything out of the house and then they negotiate on what goes back in, rather than looking at every single thing in the office and decide whether or not it should stay. There's nothing wrong with putting all your family pictures back. I'm not suggesting we leave out family pictures. Although I will tell you that if you tell your spouse, I'm going to take everything out of my office, and that includes pictures and everything else, and I'm going to put stuff back in, I bet your spouse will probably say, hey, look, let's change those. Let's give you different pictures, and I'll update your office a little bit for you.
Yeah, but you probably don't need like 20 years worth of trinkets and every pen that was ever given to you. And
yeah, believe it or not, all those awards and so on, they're all very important. Most people don't read them and get impressed by you. They're going to be impressed by you whether you have awards or not. But all of those things that sit on your desk that you're given and that you accumulate over years of experience in becoming an executive tend to create clutter. And that clutter actually affects you mentally, according to psychologists and people who are specialists in ergonomics. And if you then put on top of your desk a whole bunch of piles of paper, every time you look at your desk and you see unfinished work, you tend to have a slight negative impact on your energy. Anything you could do to clean the office out, to make it simpler, to make it leaner, to make it the lines cleaner and so on, you should do so. So we're deciding on what goes back in. If you're not certain whether something should go back in other words, immediately you say to yourself, I don't know, should it stay or should it go? Put it in a box nearby, label the box with a question mark, and if you hadn't touched that box in 90 days, give it to whomever it seems appropriate for, whatever it might be. Okay. Again, this is part of the process of getting the executive to let go of controlling things, Mike. We can't tell you how many executives had all kinds of just, I'm sorry to say this, crap in their offices that they didn't use, never looked at. And it's like you said, it's stuff that just accumulates over time. And for some reason, they think they need to hold on to it. Or the previous person had it, so sometimes, I haven't looked at it in 3 months, but gee, I guess it's important somehow.
Yeah. What if I need it and I don't have it anymore?
The way they say it to me is when I'm coaching them on it, well, I just can't give this to her. I mean, I might need it. And what if she's not here? I wouldn't know where to find it. The fact is, though, Mike, this never happens. I'm never with an executive at 7 o'clock at night where they say, oh, my gosh, I can't find something because I gave it to my assistant. Pretty much people know where their assistant's files are. And cleaning your office out reinforces the fact that you should be thinking, deciding, and communicating and not handling paper. Quite frankly, so many executives tend to be retentive about things. They end up with all kinds of things stuffed in their office that are for them that they never use, which the admin might actually need or make simpler or better for them. Give up your addiction and association with paper, folks, and give it to your admin.
Yeah, I found it really amazing when I went through this. This is many years ago, but at one point I had had an admin for probably a year or so, and I hadn't really learned to use her terribly effectively. And at some point I said, okay, I'm going to get the files out of my office. And so we had a system whereby I would put stuff in my outbox and I would just put a little sticky on top of it in terms of, I just give it in today's vernacular tags in terms of kind of what it pertained to. And then she'd file it. And this is stuff that I had retained in my office up until that point. And the thing I found most amazing is how infrequently I went into those files.
You don't, you know, yeah.
Within the next couple of years, she accumulated for me tons of files, 99% of which I never went back to. So there's a whole thing of maybe I could, instead of filing, I could throw it away. But that's, you're right. It's very infrequently to.
So, Mike, let me just mention one other aside here that we'll come back to in another podcast or series of podcasts in a great deal of detail. You and I are both devotees of David Allen's book, Getting Things Done. And we're going to come back to and talk about how you could integrate that into this process. But for those of you who know Getting Things Done, you can see where cleaning your office out would dovetail very nicely with Allen's process of getting everything on the table and making a list of all the things you got to do and then filing it and so on. And we also endorse David Allen's technique for filing, and we would encourage you to have your admin read the book. That's part of what you can do as an executive. Say, look, you need to read the book, and then we'll talk about how that's going to affect the way we work together.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people read it, and it's implementing it is a little harder than reading the book, but getting your admin on board, now there's some power.
Look, and have your admin do all that stuff for you and say, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? The admins would love that, to think that they're finding out all those projects that you have in the back of your head that you're never doing anything on that irritate the heck out of you, but you're thinking about, and that's wasting your time. It's time stolen from you and therefore from the organization.
So if people in this podcast, all they got out of it was read David Allen's book, Getting Things Done, and have your admin do so as well. It'd be worth everything they paid for this.
Exactly. And then some. and then some that they paid for this podcast. Okay. Next. I'll make it a separate point beyond just cleaning out your entire office. I want to make the point again in a little different way. Get your files out of your office, folks. Out. Okay. If you've got a 20-page spreadsheet, you don't need it in your office. Quite frankly, your admin will be better at securing things than you will. Okay? Now, next, in terms of your office, agree on an inbox and an outbox. There should be an inbox on your desk. Now, it may just be a space, and that's fine. Although, the executive, Mike, who says, my inbox is my entire desk, is dead wrong. Everything we know about executive productivity says an executive should have a large swath. I'm talking like 3 feet wide and 2 feet deep on your desk that stays clean or has just one thing in it. And everything else gets put aside, either in an inbox or in a hold box or an outbox or whatever else. You can only work on one thing at a time. When I walk into executives' desks and I see piles and piles and piles of stuff and everything else, quite frankly, most CEOs I know look at that and go, that's not a good sign. You know, they're getting nickeled and dimed or nibbled to death, piranha'd to death, so to speak. So agree on a place where your inbox goes and where your outbox goes, and the admin controls the inbox and the outbox. They put things in the inbox and they check the outbox frequently. And they should be, both should know exactly where it is, and it should never move around. It could be a big bin for an inbox and outbox. That's fine. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't take up 2/3 of your desk, obviously. I don't care what it looks like, but it should be in the same place, and everybody should know where it is. Okay. Oh, and by the way, one more thing regarding inbox. Not just anybody gets to put things in your inbox. In much the same way that an inbox is something, a request for time on your calendar is essentially a demand on your time, which is one of your most precious resources. Something in your inbox is a demand for your time. And so convince your direct reports and your peers to give it to your admin, and he or she will put it in the queue and make a decision about how important it is. Now, it may be that somebody comes to you in a meeting and says, hey, I really like you to do this today, and you choose to do it. That's certainly fine. But your inbox is not just for anybody to put anything in. That's not how it works. Because there are other places in the organization where you do have an inbox. You have a mailbox. There's probably a place on the 13th floor of your company where the executives give to their admin stuff to take down to you. And there's probably 3 or 4 mailboxes in the organization with your name on it that all get consolidated when they come to your admin. But they come to your admin and they don't come to you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. Now, next is the admin keeps the bosses, the executive's work area of the desk clear. Okay. So in other words, if you're out for 3 or 4 hours, the admin's job is to keep your desk clear. You don't get to come back and find piles and piles of stuff all over your desk. There are some people who resist this, but I find that those executives who embrace it and try it and get over the hump of, well, I don't want to mess it up. I've got it all laid out there. The fact is, everything we know about how people work, Mike, is if you leave your desk for an hour or two to go to a meeting and come back and you think you walk back to your desk and everything's the way it was and you're able to get right back into the moment, That's not true. It takes you just as long to get, quote, back in the moment with something already neatened up for you than it does you walking back and seeing it all laid out the way you left it. And the reason we do that is it gives you clarity of purpose, because if you've got a pile of stuff on your desk and you come back and now your priorities in the next couple of hours have changed, as they often do coming out of meetings, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to push that stuff aside and make things more messy, which clutters up your mind and makes you less effective. But it also takes away from your ability to focus on your new priority. So we want clarity of purpose for the executive, and that means a clean workspace. And it sounds corny, and you may think that cleanliness is not next to godliness, but in fact, an executive, in protecting the executive's share of mind, it absolutely is of religious value, so to speak. Said with full tongue in cheek there, folks. And the second thing is security. Executives have a habit of leaving stuff laying out on their desk, and at lunchtime the people can wander in and out. The admin looks and sees what it is and closes it up and puts it in a folder and takes it back to her desk, or sets it aside or puts it somewhere that you know you can find it. That's a reasonable thing to expect an admin to do, and if you ask them to do it, they'll be thrilled to do it.
Yeah, good. How about suspense folders and things of that ilk?
Boy, I'll tell you what, this is something that I never see anymore. I know you know how to do it, Mike, because you and I have both done it. I find this to be an aha moment for most executives.
You sound like it doesn't get regularly done. I can't imagine. And of course, you've been around consulting more than I have, so you've seen a broader range of executive behavior. But to me, this is kind of almost required. I can't imagine not doing it, frankly.
Oh, only 20% of executives at levels below the C-suite do it.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. Just take it for granted, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that made you a great executive. I'm sorry. People don't do it, Mike. They don't.
Wow.
Okay. Here's what it is. You should have a read, hot, sign, and suspense files that get shared and traded between the admin and the executive every single day. That's the reason I was in the office at 3:30 every morning from 3:30 to 4:30, is preparing the read, hot, sign, and suspense files with Colonel Texera, my boss. Now, in Colonel Texera's case, what he wanted was a big black notebook that he could open up, and inside the notebook was really heavy cardboard dividers, so thick that you can't easily bend them. You'd almost have to crack them. They're so thick. And he had, there was a big three-ring binder that was probably 3 inches thick, and we probably had 20 or 30 of these heavy cardboard dividers. They're actually like file dividers that normally sat in file cabinets that stood on their own, very, very thick, like a quarter inch thick. And we would three-hole punch those, and then we would put a binder clip or a paper clip and clip items to that. So if he wanted to, he could just take the binders home rather than carrying home a big inbox of papers with sticky notes all over them. And the read folder was stuff that he should read. And the hot folder was stuff that he needed to look at right away. And every morning when he walked in his inbox was stuff that was hot that maybe had changed from yesterday, stuff that he needed to sign that would explain what he was reading and why he needed to sign it. And then suspense files, things that are due coming up that maybe there's a question about where we are in the project, or he needs to send out reminders about X, Y, and Z to the people who are working on a particular project with him.
So that's why he called me when I filed that 2404, whatever you call it, where I think I said 63% equipment readiness rate. I think that's, so you're the one that put it in that hot folder, and the reason I got called on the carpet that afternoon.
Yeah,
thanks. Appreciate that.
Feel free to blame me. luckily, because you were in the job you were in, and because Colonel Texera knew that your job was incredibly important, and he gave you as many resources as he could, you turned it around and became the darling of the battalion, of course, because you were good at what you did. But that's what executives... That's what admins exist to do, is to provide vision, provide visibility to things that should be important to the executive. And it all goes back to that first thing we talked about, Mike, about the admin knowing what the priorities, the responsibilities, and the network and the people, the what and the who, so we can value and leverage the when. The more the admin knows, the more they'll be able to identify this document is important because it really impinges upon my boss's primary responsibility. Yeah. So you could easily do this in terms of a manila folder with Reed written on the front of it, or HOT or whatever, and then the executive just signs it. The idea should be make it as simple as possible for the executive to handle it. If it's something to read, I know one executive that I work with for a long time, you know, the last thing he did when he walked out was, rather than it being in his inbox, because he didn't want to have to pick it up from his inbox, he would walk out of his office, walk by his admin's desk, and there in the admin's, in a special place right next to her outbox, was his Reed folder. And he would read every night. And oftentimes, he joked, he says, I'm doing a mini Bill Gates. He says, you know, people would bring him stuff to read, and it was entirely okay for them to say to his admin, hey, listen, Jody, will you put this in Bob's Reed file tonight? And he would faithfully read stuff, unless it was 30 things and he didn't have time. He had time to spend it with his family. And it was very powerful because he got to read more broadly, and he was getting it filtered for him and prepared for him. And of course, it wasn't the whole magazine. It was the three articles that he really wanted to read, or the two articles that somebody wanted to read. So he didn't have to carry around 20 pounds worth of stuff.
Sure.
Okay. And then I want to make one last point about the office.
Well,
and that
this has nothing to do with execs and admins, but that's a pretty, effective practice. I think there's a lot of folks who make the mistake of carrying around 10 magazines with them because there is one article in there. So get comfortable with ripping stuff out of magazines. Just an aside
and
there.
And let's also be clear, if you're not reading three or four times a week, you'll never be highly effective. You must stay current. You cannot stay current by being in your office. You cannot stay current by going to a lot of meetings, a lot of lunches with people you know. You must read broadly. You should be reading the Wall Street Journal every day. We've talked about this before. I know in previous podcasts, you should be reading the Journal every day. You should be reading a local paper. You should be reading Fortune and Business Week and trade magazines as well. And in certain cases, The Economist and maybe even The Guardian or The Daily News from China. Reading should be a lifelong habit. It is the most efficient way for executives to absorb their world. The most efficient way to absorb the world is not your TV.
Yeah. And unfortunately, this is not one you can delegate to your administrative assistant.
But hopefully, it's not one you want to delegate. That's like delegating playing golf at Pebble Beach. I wouldn't want to delegate that.
No, I know you wouldn't.
Yeah, if you don't love reading, there's a part of your life as an executive that you're going to be less good at. One final point about managing the executive's office, and you know, we've really been talking about physical space here, and that is to control access whenever possible. Now, look, if you've got a cubicle and your admin has a cubicle next to you, the admin can't stand between you and your interlopers trying to keep them out of your hair. We're not suggesting that. But if you have an office, if there is a way for the admin to have visibility to people who are coming in and out of your office, I think that's powerful. And I think the executive needs to tell the admin, it's okay for you to follow somebody into my office and to say immediately, hey, don't forget you have prep there, so that we have a chance to avert a situation where the open door gets abused. We definitely want an open door policy, and we've got a podcast queued up about open door policies and some stories about how much we believe in the open door policy. You've got to allow the ability to communicate in your organization. You can't let the boundaries in your organization diminish communication, which they, of course, they already are. But if possible, you want the admin to be able to see the doorway, want to be able to intercept people. We're not talking about physically blocking the door, but if you can arrange that, you should. And we're going to leave it at that because in many cases, many cases, there's no flexibility until you get to very, very high levels. And in that case, usually the control is already, the access issue is already taken care of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. All right. Next major area we want to talk about is managing the executive's relationships. Now, this is a hugely important area.
Yeah, but nobody does it, Mike. Don't you agree? It's huge. But no, but executives aren't sharing the who with their admin, and so the admin is not managing the relationships. It's stunning to me. And look, so much of an executive or manager's time is spent relating to others. Relationship management is critical. But what happens is the tasks of maintaining the relationship are not necessarily high value. It's the relationship that's the high value, and the ability to leverage that relationship with quid pro quos and you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and so on. That's a big part of politics, folks. If you don't like doing that, hang up your executive hat now. We're not talking about pork barrel. We're not talking about log rolling in Congress, but we are talking about alignment and partnering and collaborating with other executives. But admins play a huge role here in the tasks associated with managing and maintaining relationships. And basically, when it comes to the relationships, the admin's responsibility is to monitor and support the frequency and quality of the executive's network of relationships. You know, we joked about this before, Mike. Remember the joke about Control-Shift-K in Outlook? Well, that's the admin's responsibility, figuring out who the executive has and hasn't talked to, making sure all the relationships stay current. And the way they do that is creating calls and meetings on the calendar of the executive. In most cases, what I've seen, Mike, is this takes the form of a daily or weekly call sheet. Here are people you've got to call. It could be vendors. It could be customers. It could be partners. It could be internal directs. It could be skips that you have a unique relationship with. Maybe you live nearby one of your skip levels. It could be peers of yours in the organization, critically important. Could be people in other parts of the organization that you call on or that you support. Could be internal customers. It could be friends and family. That's fine. But all too often what we find is executives are so taken over by what's urgent and hopefully sometimes what's important that a lot of this stuff doesn't get done. And then when you need to ask for a favor, you're reaching out for a cold, dead hand who doesn't remember you or only sees you as somebody who only calls when they need a favor.
If you're a junior level executive, you've already figured this out.
Yes.
And I'm talking particularly about senior technology executives. If you're a junior level technology director in particular, this is something to pay attention. It's likely that your administrative assistant is much more attuned to people than you are. And so this is a huge opportunity to leverage your admin's ability to help you manage these relationships.
Yeah, I even joke that, Mike, that this is why I say if you're making good money, you shouldn't be buying a nice car. You should buy a yucky car with a big back seat that allows you to have a driver. And you should spend your money on the driver and not on the car, because people who are impressed by your car are not worthy of being impressed. And you should spend your time with a call sheet in the back of the car, calling people on the way home and on the way to work in the morning. I know it's unlikely, but going to and from the airport, going to and from meetings, you should have a call sheet and you should be calling people and touching base with folks. Very, very powerful. If you maintain your network with some light touch along the way, when you need your network, it will be firm, it will be strong, and your life will be made a great deal easier. Well, you and I were recently talking about how to put the treasure trove of resources that I have out on the web, and I just picked up the phone and called a good friend of mine who's a manager who happens to be in charge of document management for a $2 billion company, and she sent me back a detailed answer. Why is that? Because about a month ago, I did her a favor. If you do that, if you maintain your relationship, when you have a need that it would take me 10 hours to figure out the answer to this, I can do it in 5 minutes. Okay, we have two final points. One is managing the executive's administrative deliverables. Now, there are all kinds of ministerial tasks, if you will, that employees and managers and leaders have to deal with that executives only need be told that they were done. The danger is so many managers who are becoming executives, so many junior folks who are getting promoted to a place where they have an admin, so many of them get caught up in the tasks associated with the job and all the administrivia and the new distribution lists that they're on and more emails that they get and so on, they end up getting bogged down in tasks. Tasks are not what executives are supposed to do. Executives are supposed to worry about responsibilities that then flow down into a detailed task that they accomplish. But if you're looking at a whole bunch of administrative tasks, you're looking at the wrong stuff. Effective executives do not prepare documents. They don't fill out forms. They don't do timesheets. They don't do expense reports, regardless of what it is they want to do. Just because you got promoted because you're a brilliant presenter and you love PowerPoint doesn't mean you should be spending a lot of time with PowerPoint as an executive. These executive meetings will last 6 hours where the executive reviews every font on every slide. They're an absolute waste of time. And to that end, your admin is responsible for maintaining effective relationships with all matter of support personnel and the other network of admins in your firm so that when the exec needs something, the admin is able to go get it for him or her. So delegate all tasks, administrative tasks, to your admin, because this goes to the issue of, if you're going to get in trouble for an admin task not being done. Don't get in trouble because you didn't spend enough time on your primary responsibilities. And I'm, right. So what we're saying here is delegate everything. Delegate it until you get in trouble. And then at that point, decide, how do we change this? Not how do I take it back, but how do we change this so we can avoid getting in trouble? Because that's something that there's, as we said before, there's too much to do. And one of the things you're essentially doing every day is choosing what you're willing to get in trouble about. And the top thing on the list for executives should be administrative tasks. Let your admin do them, period.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
It's been a long couple of casts here, but a final note. We started out, Mike, by saying that many executives grossly underutilize their admins. And the primary sin is, as we said, under-delegation. That'll still be true 5 years from now, manager tools notwithstanding. Not this podcast is not going to change corporate America overnight. We really do encourage you to delegate fully, to push things down to your admin, and discover what his or her skills truly are. And you know what? It's possible. We say again, it's possible that as you start to stretch and grow your admin, you'll discover that he's not up to the task. Partially because the person who hired them without knowing these kinds of things that an admin are supposed to do. And if that happens, feedback and coaching are absolutely called for. Even more so than for your directs, because your admin has more standing in the company's eyes often than some of your directs do. Even though sometimes they provide less, you know, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Your directs have more standing in the company's eyes, even though sometimes they provide less value to the firm than your admin does in terms of making you efficient and effective. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'll make a brief aside here, Mike, which is we talked about daily meetings and so on, but your admin is one of your directs, and so they do get a weekly one-on-one just like all your other directs. And that one-on-one is just run just like any other one-on-one. But it does never take the place of that daily stand-up meeting.
Okay. Let me make a comment about the value proposition you just described. If folks are not going to do the things we've described here, then by all means, you know, save as much money as you can on your admin, because your admin's doing nothing other than answering the phone anyways. However, if you are going to do these things, there is incredible value that is produced. And so get the best possible administrative assistant your money can buy. Most people way underpay their admins, and if you're using them effectively, there's no reason you can't pay them top dollar for their, you know, for their position.
Yeah, be willing to fall on your sword a little bit for a little extra salary here. And a neat trick that I learned from a friend of mine in Atlanta at Coke is, if you have a chance to get a new admin for whatever reason, your admin leaves or gets promoted or goes somewhere else, or you're in a new role and there's no admin in the role yet, look around at the executives 1 and 2 levels above you to see if anybody is about to lose their admin or is changing jobs, and you could steal them.
Yeah, good point.
Because an admin that's worked at higher levels is probably much more efficient and effective than the peer admins, and maybe paid a little bit more, but is absolutely worth it because they know a great deal more about what's happening at higher levels.
Yeah, they might be able to teach you a few things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, and now the final point we wanted to make. If you make a good faith effort, and it's still not working out, you've coached, you've given feedback, you've really worked hard, don't be afraid to ask for your admin's resignation and or terminate him or her and find a more efficient and more effective one. Do not live in inefficiency hell out of loyalty or a misguided sense of noblesse oblige or however you want to describe it. If your admin is not doing his or her job, treat him with the same respect you would with any of your other direct reports and let him be successful somewhere else. I don't think that's going to happen very often. I think we've essentially put out a pretty comprehensive overview, although it's an initial overview. There's a great many more things that happen in highly effective admin and executive relationships. But we don't suggest that if your admin doesn't work out that, well, the role's not that important and you can limp by without it, because this is something that the organization is making a huge investment in your value to the organization, and you don't want to take that lightly. You don't want to spurn what the organization is doing for you.
Yep. You should be willing to pay for the best you can possibly get, and on the other hand, you ought to be willing to terminate the individual if they're not living up to your expectations.
Yeah. And that termination would be a failure, but we're willing to accept the failure if we can get to a better place because of it.
Absolutely. You have to make choices in life.
Yes.
Yeah. I hate that.
Yes, we do.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
My pleasure, buddy.
We'll see you later.
Well, there you go. Everything, well, almost everything, you need to effectively work with your administrative assistant. Now, after you had your assistant listen to this series, go put these ideas to work and see your effectiveness and your relationship with your assistant go to an entirely new level. Until next week, folks, we'll see you on the discussion boards. Remember, www.manager-tools.com/forms. So long, everyone. See you next week.